Good evening, and welcome to the Church of the Holy Spirit for Daily Mass.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Father.
Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God. And to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
Let us pray. O God, author of our freedom and of our salvation, listen to the voice of our pleading and grant that those you have redeemed by the shedding of your Son's blood may have life through you and under your protection, rejoice forever unharmed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Paul came to Antioch in Pisidia, he said in the synagogue, "My brothers, children of the family of Abraham, and those others among you who are God-fearing. To us, this word of salvation has been sent. The inhabitants of Jerusalem and their leaders failed to recognize him, and by condemning him, they fulfilled the oracles of the prophets that are read Sabbath after Sabbath. For even though they found no ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him put to death. And when they had accomplished all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are now his witnesses before the people. We ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Gospel today, Jesus calls himself the way. You know the way, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm going to talk about that. I want to talk about the psalm. And I want to talk about the first reading in Acts of the Apostles, because Paul quotes the psalm. He finishes up saying, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." So this line, "You are my son," it sounds nice, and we sang it today. And when we sang it, it sounded nice. And why is this in Psalm 2? Why is this quote saying, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you"? And why is Paul quoting it and interpreting it, reinterpreting it? So it's Psalm number 2. Psalm number 2 is right after Psalm number 1. You're going to get it. Psalm number 1, Hanukkah. No, Psalm number 1 is a psalm that's kind of like, take the good path or take the bad path. And it's talking kind of directly to the Jewish people. It echoes a little bit the Joshua before they enter into the promised land. Are you going to follow me or not follow me? You have to make a choice. The second psalm is a psalm about the entire globe. So it's not just to the Jewish people, but it's actually to kings, and it is putting the Jewish people's place, and it is putting them as the center or the way to the Father. So Jesus Christ is saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. Psalm 2 is kind of saying, no one comes to the Father except through the Jewish people. So it's not a everybody's kind of good in their own way type psalm. It is the Jewish people as the center of the world. This is kind of a hard thing too. It reminds me of the book of Jonah, when a lot of times the Jewish faith seems enclosed just for Jewish people, and it's God gives them this special revelation and they can follow the covenant, because the covenant's for them. The first covenant through Moses is for the Jewish people, and it's for their own salvation. But sometimes it seems God is emphasizing they're also for the salvation of the world, and the world can be saved through the Jewish people. In the book of Jonah, remember, Jonah is this prophet, and he's asked to go to Nineveh, his enemies, and he doesn't want to go there. He eventually goes there. He walks through the town one time and says, "You're living in a bad way. You need to repent." And they all repented, and God saved Nineveh, and Jonah was angry because this rival country, who's way bigger and stronger than Israel, is saved by God. So their enemies are saved by their own God. And it's a frustrating thing sometimes for the Jewish people to see God's grace go to the nations around them as well as to them. And this is a challenge God gives sometimes. In this psalm, it's kind of giving us that same mentality that Israel exists, but it exists as a disciplinarian and bridge for the rest of the nations to get to God. In this particular psalm, it's much more of a disciplinarian for the other one. So it starts out kind of making fun of the kings around Israel who are plotting to take over Israel. And it's saying, you princes are plotting against us. You have all these plans to take over Israel, and the God in heaven is laughing at you. So it's immediately humiliating countries that think through their own power they can go against God's plan. And it's drawing like this really strong line saying that's a joke to God. And then it starts to go in and says, because God has placed the kings where they are, and God has placed the kings in Israel. And if they ask, he will give them anything they want. He loves Israel. And then it's talking about the king in Israel is God's own son. This day I have begotten you. So that's where this line is coming from, saying, I put the king there, and this king is my son. And this obviously is a psalm before Jesus. So this is like between 1000 BC and maybe like 600-something B.C., when the kings are sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, and it's saying this, the king is a direct descendant of God, or God put the king there. And Paul is reinterpreting this to say he put Jesus there. So after it establishes kind of this kingship or this central role for the Jewish people, it then says, we heard today, he will rule, or sometimes it's translated shepherd. He will shepherd with an iron rod, and he will shatter his enemies like the potter's jar. So you have this clay pot. It's really violent images. And he's ruling with an iron rod, and he's shattering things that don't listen to him. And it's really preaching destruction, that if the nations don't listen to Israel, Israel will have the power to destroy everything around it. We see a lot of destruction that happens in the Old Testament. This image of God that's in this particular psalm is a very strong, authoritarian, very powerful God. This is not a meek, mild, I'll let you do what you want God. This is, if you step out of line, I am going to shatter you like a piece of clay, God. And we see it's directly relating to Jesus Christ, according to Paul. Paul's relating that. And then he says at the end, though, if you take refuge in me, I am strong and powerful, and I will protect you, and I'll give you security. When we're relating this to Jesus and saying Jesus is the king that it's talking about, you are my son, this day I have begotten you, we're getting this image of Jesus as a shepherd that's ruling with an iron rod. And we kind of get this image in the book of Revelation as well. At the end of time, in the final judgment, we see Jesus as someone who is judging and someone who, it turns out, is stronger than everybody else. Even though he's meek and is led to his own death, first he destroys death with his iron rod, and then he resurrects. And he's still gentle to people to give them an invitation because he's trying to save everyone. But at the end of time, he will shatter his enemies like a clay pot. This should be an image of Jesus that gives us a lot of reassurance and security. And also, it's an image of Jesus that the early church is invoking, that Paul is happy to say is true about Jesus, because Christians are dying and they're being murdered. And there is this idea that God is protecting and God is keeping score and God is remembering when his innocent ones are slaughtered. And he's also dealing out some sort of punishment for them on the behalf in real time. And at the end of time, he will as well. So we take this image, Psalm number 2. It's an interesting psalm, and sometimes it's a little bit scary because it gives a much stronger image of God and Jesus. But let a strong image of Jesus sometimes influence your prayer, because sometimes we need a strong Jesus who we know has infinite power and power over everybody else, and will exact justice for us and loves us. And if we embrace him and his law, we can be bridged to the Father, and we can have eternal life with him. Joining our voices together as one, we raise our prayers to God, the Almighty Father.
For those who lead in the church, may the Lord grant them strength in guiding the church towards healing and sacramental transformation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the leaders of nations, may God give them courage and strength in seeking out justice and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those struggling with depression, anxiety, or any other mental health challenge, may God's healing hand provide peace and recovery. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the community gathered here and the local community outside these walls, may the grace of the Holy Spirit empower us to live the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died, may they rest in eternal peace with all the saints and angels in heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for today's Mass intention, the repose of the soul of Elizabeth Quatreron, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord God, Almighty Father, we ask all these things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, will become for us the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands that will become our spiritual drink.
Blessed be God forever.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept this sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church.
Accept in compassion, Lord, we pray, the offerings of your family, that under your protective care, they may never lose what they have received, but attain the gifts that are eternal. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just. Our duty and our salvation. At all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying he has destroyed our death, and by rising restored our life. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Ronald, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, so by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Let us pray. Keep safe, O Lord, we pray, those whom you have saved by your kindness, that redeemed by the passion of your Son, they may rejoice in his resurrection, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Coming kingdom shall be.